Braves and baseball fans, it's time to take a trip from coast to coast across Major League Baseball.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run.
One strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, a perfect game.
Fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes! 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 The Atlanta Braves have given you a championship. Listen to this crowd.
Left side, Swanson to first. Braves, the world champions.
Braves and baseball talk, straight from the diamond.
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. And Window Nation. Call the pros at Window Nation at 866-90-NATION.
Here's Grant McCauley.
Hello and welcome into From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios on a Monday night. As the clock counting down to opening day is under 72 hours now, and the Atlanta Braves will get their season started against the San Diego Padres on Thursday afternoon. With that in mind, we've got to continue our previews with a second spring training special designed to help you get to know the Atlanta Braves pitching staff. You're going to hear from several key members of that group, and I have a visit with Braves general manager Alex Anthopoulos on deck as well, so a lot to get to on the show. Before we get started, though, I want to remind you, as always, you can find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app, so make sure you subscribe and follow along there. You can also find me on social media on most platforms at Grant McCauley. And if you need links to anything I've got going on as far as my Braves and baseball coverage all season long, and goodness knows there's a lot to keep up with, FromTheDiamond.com is a great place to do that. You can find all the links on that top navigational bar. With all of that plugging out of the way, let's plug into what the Braves have going on in the pitching department in the 2025 season. Coming off a year in which Atlanta boasted one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball and somehow did all of that without a prohibitive Cy Young favorite in Spencer Strider, you would not be alone if you have big expectations for what this group will do this year. Of course, Max Fried and Charlie Morton are gone, but Strider's on his way back, and speaking of the Cy Young, Chris Sale took that home, the first of his illustrious career, doing so in his first year in a Braves uniform. That was just one of the many highlights for this pitching staff. Not only was it Chris Sale, but Reynaldo Lopez, a longtime reliever, turned starter, and it turned out to be a pretty good decision for him and the Braves. An all-star campaign for him. And rookie Spencer Schwellenbach, I think, took Atlanta by storm and may have established himself as one of the better right-handers in the National League in very short order. He has quite an encore ahead for him in 2025 to keep that thing going, and we'll hear from Spencer Schwellenbach just a little bit later on in the show. But I think we have to start with Sale and with Strider. Strider, Atlanta's opening day starter a year ago, will be on a minor league rehab assignment looking to rejoin the club perhaps as soon as mid-April. That is certainly encouraging, but Strider was not the factor in 2024 that many people expected him to be, and instead, it was Sale who had a renaissance season and reestablished himself at the age of 35. Sale went 18-3 with a 2.38 ERA and 225 strikeouts across 177 and two-thirds innings, winning the Triple Crown and a Gold Glove while making his first All-Star team since 2018. All of those accolades, well, really the performance that resulted in those accolades, have led Atlanta to name him as their opening day starter in 2025. The expectations are big for Sale, they're big for the Braves pitching staff, and on this edition of From the Diamond, we will dive into all of the reasons why. But I wanted to start by hearing from the man himself. One of the great things I think about Chris Sale, in addition to his pitch ability, the physical side of his game, is the mental side of it. And he has a career, it runs all the highs and the lows that you could possibly imagine. One of the greatest strikeout pitchers we may ever see. And so that's the successful side. And then there's the overcoming obstacle side, which was a 4, if not 5 year stint worth of injury. You had to wonder, and I'm sure Chris Sale had to wonder, am I ever going to be able to get healthy and get back on track? He was able to answer that question a year ago. And in so doing, I think that there was a lot of curiosity about what he was thinking throughout. I mean, he knows what success looks like, but he hadn't been able to have it consistently in quite a while. So the mindset had to be very important for Chris Sale. And I loved how he described how he approached every single start, every single opportunity he got to be on the mound in 2024.
I really tried my best not to get wrapped up. And just when you think you're out of it, you're right back in it. And right when you think you got it, it's gone. So for me, especially just going through what I had been through in the past, how easily you can show up, but how easily you can be gone is kind of the way I was looking at it. So if I had a good start, all right, I got work to do for the next 4 days, and then I pitch again on that fifth day. And if I didn't have a good start, it's like, okay, well, I got work to do for the next 4 days, and I got to pitch on that fifth day. So, again, I just try not to get too high or too low. It's just, if you pitch good, you still got work to do. And if you pitch like crap, you still got work to do. You got people expecting, you know, things from you, and you have a job to do on this team. You have a role. So I try not to get too wrapped up in any of the good or the bad. And just once the season was over, I was able to kind of look back and reflect and, you know, look at things through a different lens. But while you're in it, it's probably not the best idea to do that.
In his first year with the Atlanta Braves, Chris Sale and company got a lot thrown at them. He was definitely one of the highlights, and unfortunately, injuries were a huge story. Even Chris Sale at the end had to deal with back spasms that had him sidelined at an inopportune time for this club. But despite everything that was at the Atlanta Braves a year ago, Chris Sale was impressed by the overall attitude that this team displayed and believes that the reasons why they were able to push through and find their way into October.
There's really no waiver. There's no, you know, backing down. As good as anybody I've ever, you know, seen or any team I've ever been on. There was a lot of stuff that went on last year, a lot of adversity, a lot of injuries, and the vibe never really changed. No one ever about it. There was no fingers or feeling down. It was just kind of, all right, hey, this is what happens. This is kind of the game, next man up. And, you know, everybody that filled in did exactly what we needed them to do. So, you know, Tate with a full strength squad is going to be special.
Well, health and full strength, those are just a couple of ways that we described for as much of this season as possible, if we're being honest. But with those two things, it's going to come some expectations. So what does Chris Sale believe the expectation should be for Braves in 2025? I'll let him tell you.
What was it last year? We had the best odds to win the World Series or second best odds or something like that, and we would basically have the same team. So, I mean, nothing really changes on our end. You know, we got guys that can hit a bunch of homers, and we got a bunch of guys that can keep runs off the board, and that's, at the end of it, that's the name of the game. I feel like our defense was unbelievable too. So, you know, all those things together, and, you know, God willing, we got good health. I like our chances as much.
Well, the Braves' chances are certainly good if you look at any of the prognosticators out there as far as projections are concerned. They're still one of the top five teams in baseball, and that's if you're being conservative. And in a lot of cases, you'll see the Dodgers at the top of that list, and not far under that, you'll see the Atlanta Braves. The reasons for that, obvious. This is a club core, but it's not a club that was without question marks. A lot of those that were kind of opened up in 2024 and obviously took their toll on this club a year ago in the form of injuries. They haven't been able to do injury bullets in spring training either. They had a couple of scares with Austin Riley, with Jerickson Profar. They have lost Sean Murphy to start the year, and that opens up the door for Drake Baldwin, a young catcher, to get an opportunity much earlier than I think anybody could have anticipated. Well, injury is still going to be a story this year. We just don't know how big of a character it's going to be. Let's just hope it's not as recurring as it was a year ago. Putting that aside, the Atlanta Braves have a very impressive pitching staff. They have lost some key members of that in Max Fried and Charlie Morton in the rotation, in Joe Jimenez, who was injured, and A.J. Minter, who departed as a free agent to join the New York Mets, no less, over there. That also creates some opportunity. The return of Spencer Strider, the biggest stories in 2025, it already is. If you watched how he looked in spring training in a couple of weeks, the Braves are going to be very excited to get him back and put him in a rotation that includes Chris Sale, that includes Wellenbach, that includes Reynaldo Lopez, and at least is going to include a couple of other arms. One I want to key in on right now, and that is veteran journeyman Grant Holmes, who spent 10 years in the minor leagues his way to finally realize his dream and got to do it with a team he grew up watching, no less. Grant Holmes, what he did a year ago was impressive, and the way he did it was also impressive. He debuted in the middle of June, probably the 26th man on the roster, just somebody to help give them some. What he did from that point forward really opened a lot of eyes. Holmes, a season ago, as you look at his numbers, a 3.56 ERA in 26 outings, 7 of those ended up coming in the starting rotation, 68 and a third innings, and he threw strikes, only 15 walks and 70 strikeouts. He was just one of those stories you can't account for when the team arrives in spring training. You need these stories to come up over the course of a long season, and Grant Holmes was certainly a great one. I don't think anything exemplified his ability to just take the ball and give the Braves what they need than when he was given about 30 minutes notice in game number 162 that he's going to be starting, and what for the Braves? Getting into the postseason, no less. And all he did was go out and dominate and give the Braves that opportunity to at least get into October and roll the dice to see what they could do. We all know how that story ended as far as 2024 is concerned. Let's put that behind us for now. But looking forward for 2025 for Grant Holmes, after a decade in the minor leagues, he came to spring training in a totally different situation. And I caught up with the Braves righty to talk about that.
Here with Braves pitcher Grant Holmes at spring training. I know about a year ago, this had to be a completely different feeling than it is this year, as you've had the winter to kind of look back at what 2024 was for you. How excited are you to be back and from your first year in the major leagues?
Whirlwind of a year, you know. Great year. You know, it's a lot of things to take away from it, you know. Just trying to build on what I did last year and make it better. Like, there's always room for improvement, and I feel like I got a few things, you know, dialed in this offseason, so hopefully, you know, it'll translate to the field.
Baseball gives us a lot of unique stories for you. It was a long road to get to the major leagues and to do so for a team that you grew up watching as well. Now you get to build on that. As you went into the winter and looked for those ways to improve, what was kind of on your list and what have you kind of brought into whatever the opportunity is going to be for you this year? I know you'll be happy to do whatever they ask of you, but a chance to start at least here in spring training to begin with.
It's mostly just fine-tuning some things. Wasn't nothing really big, you know, small mechanical things that, you know, will let me start, go deeper in the games, you know, and stuff like that. You know, just working on some, you know, fine tuning some pitches, making them better. Like I always do every offseason, just work on, you know, the command. So nothing super big, just, you know, just trying to make my, you know, legs a little stronger so they can stay under me a little bit longer this year. So it was a pretty productive offseason. Feel like it flew by, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, excited to be back.
Well, the starting rotation is going to look a little bit different, obviously, with the departures of Max Fried and with Charlie Morton, but I don't need to tell you, the Braves have long valued pitching as kind of the bedrock of their foundation of the winning that they're capable of doing, and with those departures comes those opportunities as you compete for a spot in the starting rotation. Kind of what's your mindset?
You know, it's just one day at a time, you know. Just enjoying it. I guess I feel like it's my first big league spring training where it's, you know, like I kind of have an idea of what they want from me instead of, you know, coming in non-roster invitee or like a, you know, first or second year 40 man where, you know, you're 90% chance you're going to be on that first cut. So it's a pretty good feeling, you know, just coming in and staying healthy, getting some decent workload in, and just be ready for the year.
Yeah, let me zoom out the 30,000 foot view. You mentioned stay healthy. I think if there's anything the 2025 Atlanta Braves would love to do, it is stay healthy. I think that as you look at the rest of the league, you look at the rest of the National League East, obviously teams are out there making moves and getting better. A lot of the group here is coming back from a year ago. Do you see the potential in this clubhouse and, of course, the belief that if healthy, this is still one of the best clubs in baseball?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with Acuña coming back, you know, Strider coming back, I mean, two really good baseball players, you know. And with what we did last year with all the injuries, you know, it's that should tell you a lot. So adding those guys back, it's only going to make it better. Of course, you know, it's just staying healthy, like you said. And it's stay on the field and, you know, it's just win. Try to win.
Pretty universal. Staying healthy, absolutely, getting the chance to win. Grant Holmes, appreciate your time. Good luck this spring, and talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Humble and unassuming are a couple of ways you could describe Grant Holmes. When he's on the mound, though, there's nothing unassuming about it. He's a guy that could really play a role on the Braves pitching staff in 2025. What exactly that role is, we're all going to find out together, but he has earned the opportunity to start here in the early portion of the year, and we'll see what he's able to do with that, and of course, what the Braves pitching staff looks like as the year rolls on. Getting Spencer Strider back is going to create a bit of a numbers game, but if you'll remember, last year, the Braves were routinely using a sixth starting pitcher to give extra rest to Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez. They benefited from that. Could Spencer Strider benefit from that this year? Something to keep in mind for not only Grant Holmes, but also A.J. Smith-Shawver, the Braves' young fireballer who should get opportunities this year as well. So a great visit with Grant Holmes, but we have much more to get to in this edition of From the Diamond, our spring training special number two, as we look at the Braves pitching staff. And I had a chance down at Northport to catch up with the man who has been assembling all the pieces for the Atlanta Braves since taking the job prior to the 2018 season. He, of course, is the president of baseball operations and general manager for the club, Alex Anthopoulos. And you will hear from him next on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios on a Monday night as we continue our countdown to opening day, which I don't need to tell too many of you out there is less than 72 hours from now. The Braves will be opening up the regular season out west, San Diego, then Los Angeles, Padres, and Dodgers. Going to be a tough test. Of course, in San Diego, that's where the Braves season ended a year ago. And the Dodgers, well, you might have read a thing or two or three about what they're doing in 2025 and beyond, and I'm not going to bury the lead. They're a very good team. It's going to be a very big challenge on this first road trip for the Atlanta Braves, but one they are very much up to. Having spent a lot of time down in Northport around this club and following a winter in which I think we all waited an awfully long time to see what the Braves were going to do to supplement that roster, you might have been feeling like it was never going to happen. And then there was the Jerks and Profar signing. There were some little things that were done along the way, and then we got a crazy final week of spring training where the Braves signed a multitude of veteran players just to try to fortify this roster and made a whole lot of moves to trim it on down to 26. Well, to give you some insight on what exactly this winter was like and what the mindset was for this front office, I wanted to go straight to the source. I caught up with Braves general manager and president of baseball operations, Alex Anthopoulos, down at Northport at Braves spring training to get his thoughts on a number of different topics, just about every single aspect of this team. I tried to ask a little bit of something about it. I want to share that conversation with you right now here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley as we continue our Braves spring training special with a visit with Alex Anthopoulos.
Here with Alex Anthopoulos, I kind of want to look back before we look forward or maybe even in the present day. It has to be nice to get that normal rite of passage that spring is because it is a new chapter and you can put the 2024 season, which had a lot of challenges for the organization, for the players, I'm sure for the front office to try to navigate that. How nice is it to come in and kind of get this fresh canvas for 2025?
Yeah, it's always great. I mean, everyone's excited of spring training. Everyone's feeling good about their chances. For the most part, health is good across the board. And people are excited. And we'll see once the games get started and so on how the roster does come together. But look, we have a very talented group of guys. That's part of the benefit of signing young players to long-term deals. And we're excited to see how camp goes.
I know that in having a lot of that roster stability that has come with those big deals, it gives you a great core to work with. Unfortunately, a lot of those pieces were kind of off the board last year. I guess I'd be remiss not to start with the two biggest names that could make a huge impact in 2025 as they get back, Ronald Acuña Jr. and Spencer Strider. I know you've talked a lot about them. How is everything going with those guys, and how is that outlook? I know opening day may not be in the cards for them, but where they fit and when they fit as you guys kind of put together that plan.
Yeah, they both will not be on the opening day roster. They're aware of that. We've announced that. And then once we get to the end of camp, we'll start figuring out timing of rehab programs and things like that. But the fact that they're progressing well, we don't think it'll be too long, but they will both be starting on the IL.
As you look at this 2025 club, I know a lot of this winter was spent with a lot of activity, a lot of phone calls, a lot of discussions with other clubs. But as the fans, I'm sure, were sitting, waiting, and wishing for something to happen, you were the person who was out there trying to make all of that happen. How would you characterize this winter? It seems to have been one of the most uniquely challenging for you as the man who cultivates and puts together this roster.
Yeah, and I understand. Look, people want activity, trades, signings, action. I do. I'm a sports fan. I follow the other teams. I love it, especially our winter. The baseball offseason is longer than the others. They have caps and signing deadlines and so on, and ours continue into February and March. So, you know, it's one of those things that we just don't want to force deals, and we have a good core, and we'll push on things and get beyond our comfort zone. But you know, if we ultimately think it's a mistake to do a trade or a signing, we won't do it. And I understand that'll come at times with fan angst, why aren't we doing more and so on. You know, like I said, like we have a lot of contracts that are on the books long term. We like all of them. We feel good about all of them. But that's being very selective about what we do and knowing that, look, and you could sign any 1 year deal, sure, but anything long term will limit you and take you out of other options, whether that's during the trade deadline this year, whether that's next offseason and so on. Now you have to try to unwind something, trade other players, move contracts. It's challenging. So we've always been able to maintain flexibility. But again, you look around the roster, 7 of 9 spots were pretty much locked in. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And we had players for the other two. So, look, we went and got Profar for the outfield. You know, Orlando didn't have a good year, and we were open to doing something there if it was an elite player. But, you know, at the same time, if he's sitting at the bottom of the lineup and playing solid defense for us, we certainly could win with him. So then you had the rotation, really, one spot in our mind is open. And we have some young candidates that we don't want to block. We will for the right guy.
Right.
But again, we do it for what we think maybe isn't the best fit. We force a deal, a 3-, 4-, 5-year contract for a starter. And now we've got continuity through the first four for the next 2 years at least. Something presents itself at the trade deadline, we can't do it. Or we have to trade someone or put someone in the bullpen or something comes up next offseason. So we're really selective because it's not like we have three openings there. So the bullpen was the one spot. There's a lot of opportunity there. And that's the one thing we did explore some things. But, you know, those are things that are fluid and that can evolve during the year.
Yeah, and maybe even during spring training, depending on how things shake out, both in this camp and the other 29 camps. You brought up being selective about the right deal. Jerkson Profar was a deal that obviously you guys felt very strong about. 3-year contract for somebody who can fit in and be in an outfield that Ronald Acuña Jr. was saying may be the best in baseball. Of course, they got to be healthy, they got to get out there, they got to produce, and they got to do it. But what kind of drove the decision to make Profar the right guy that you wanted to add to this club to help the offense, help the continuity of the outfield, and maybe just help you along as Ronald Acuña Jr. works his way back in?
Yeah, so early in the offseason, we identified Jurickson as, for us, the second best outfielder on the market just because the bat was so exceptional. Switch hit bat, contact on base, high energy guy from a clubhouse standpoint, brings an edge as well, which we think will be good for our team. But again, we had other areas we were looking to. There was some exciting starters we were going to pursue in trade and free agency, and there was some relievers we were going to take a look at as well. So we kept tabs, and it's very similar to when, you know, we were looking to bring back Josh Donaldson, and we kept tabs on Marcell Ozuna the entire time. So with Jurickson, it just took a little more time, but, you know, we kept tabs on him the entire winter. Especially that playoff outing against San Diego was all right-handed bats. Now, Albies was swinging right-handed. He wasn't fully recovered, but Ramon Laureano earned every bit of his playing time. Solaire we acquired at the trade deadline. Giovanni Urshela's at third and so on. And you're looking at Olsen and Harris as the only two left-handed bats in that lineup, and you're facing a righty with a sweeper and great off-speed stuff. Breaking away from guys, it was tough, and it just not having that balance. Now you're talking about a lineup that'll have four left-handed bats in there when you factor in the switch component of Profar and Albies, and you don't have to go with the platoon. You know, at any time they can match up with bullpens and so on, and I think it just really completes the lineup. So our offense last year was not as good, and getting back to an elite offense we think will certainly help the bullpen, the rotation, and so on. And we think we have the upside to be just as good in the rotation. And the bullpen's the one spot, you know, we don't have a Joe Jimenez replacement here. We're hoping guys can carry the load, but I don't think it's fair to expect anybody. So that'll be a big, big loss for us. A.J. Minter's a huge loss, but we lost him the last 2 months of the year. And we're still able to contribute and have a solid bullpen. But, you know, Joe is the one guy we haven't been able to account for, but we're hoping guys like Daysbill Hernandez and so on can at least take part of the load.
Yeah, it's good to have those internal options that you do believe in, and you have quite a few of those in camp. And sometimes with the bullpen, it's about finding some quantity and some quality throughout to throw at that. And as you know, I don't need to tell you, how many pitchers get used over the course of a season? You guys have lived that the past few years, so we'll see how all of that plays out. You mentioned the lineup, some of the balance that you can have in that. A lot of talk, obviously, about getting Ronald Acuña Jr. back at the top of the order, but missing Austin Riley for a significant portion of last year. Michael Harris, Sean Murphy, I mean, the list goes on. Ozzie Albies, you had to replace a lot of different players throughout. As the offseason goes and everybody kind of prognosticates on who's made the moves, who's spent the money, who has the odds, whatever the case may be, talking to guys in this clubhouse as you come back in, there's still a belief here that this is one of the best clubs in baseball that can be, even if they're not the 2023 offense, better than they were a year ago. That has to, I guess, for you, make it a little bit easier or create a foundation for you to work from as you look to find those missing pieces, just knowing that this is a well-constructed club that still very much believes in itself despite everything it went through last year.
No doubt. And look, even taking away Braves' opinions, players, coaches, front office, all the external people that are doing projections and so on have us as a top two team, top three team. I don't think we'd find anyone that would say below the top five. That doesn't mean anything because performance and injury will change that quickly, but we obviously have belief. Even third parties that have no ties to this organization feel the same way. And again, that comes from having a younger club still that is under contract, that has continuity and so on. So the fact that we were able to win 89 games, I mean the year we won the World Series, we won 88. And you know, we had everybody out last year, we won 89. So I just think we have that much more upside. But again, I think the division is exceptionally challenging. It's gotten better. I think this is the best division in the game. You've got two of the top four payrolls in the game in this division as well. So we definitely have our work cut out for us, and they're very well run too. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be very close.
It always is, and of course the season can play out in a variety of different ways. Let me wrap up with this. You talked a little bit about the starting rotation and the bullpen, a little bit about the lineup as well. Your coaching staff, there was a change last year. There have been a few changes over the last couple of years, really. But in the hitting coach department, Tim Hyers comes in, new voice, new vision, new message. I mean, you're not necessarily teaching these guys how to hit. They all have their unique abilities, if you will. Austin Riley said being a hitting coach might just be the hardest job in baseball. But as you sized up who to bring in, what made Tim Hyers the right fit?
Yeah, I agree with Austin. A hitting coach for me is having stability. I think it's once you start to churn, I've seen it. Clubs make changes with hitting coaches, and then 2 years later they keep doing it, and you keep churning, and I don't think that's productive either. We had tremendous continuity here with Kevin Seitzer for years, who did amazing work, and obviously the assistants he had with him. Look, Tim's very accomplished. I was with him in L.A. when he was an assistant hitting coach, so I got to be around him a little bit there, and then went on to do great things with the Red Sox, great things with the Rangers as well. And we felt like it was the right fit for us. So, but I do believe in stability in that role. Not a decision we took lightly, hard to do. You know, it's one of those things that Tim is viewed as one of the better hitting coaches in the game. This is a place he wanted to be, which was really appealing to us both, I think, from a geographic standpoint, and I think what he had heard about the organization and the talent that we have here. So we're excited to have him, Hugh, and obviously Carlos as well as assistants. And, you know, we're excited for this group.
Excited to be back at spring training. That means opening day is just around the corner. He's Braves President of Baseball Operations and General Manager Alex Anthopoulos. Appreciate your time as always and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Always enjoy it. Appreciate it.
There you heard from Braves General Manager Alex Anthopoulos on a myriad of topics. And there was a lot over the winter that was kind of tied up in the waiting game. As the Braves looked to make the right moves, many of those I don't think really materialized for them. I know they would have liked to have done more for the pitching staff. In particular, the Jeff Hoffman deal, that one didn't work because the medicals didn't check out. There wasn't another big move to be made for the rotation, but you do have some pieces in place in the return of Spencer Strider, who's looked awfully good this spring training, and you can supplement on the other side of that, whether it is from some of the depth in the minor league system, perhaps led by A.J. Smith-Shawver at this point, or if it's going out and maybe finding somebody in season or at the trade deadline that could put the Braves over the top there. We'll see how all of that plays out. The other thing that stood out to me in all of this, because I've gotten a lot of questions about it, are the Braves really content with the shortstop situation? And you heard from Alex right there, they were willing to explore shortstop if they could find the right impact-type player. They did not find that deal. And I will say this, and I know it may not be popular, but for the time being, if the rest of the Braves lineup is clicking the way it needs to, Orlando Arcia playing solid defense and batting ninth is not one of the major hurdles for this club to contend in 2025. That being said, you need to see more out of Orlando Arcia this year than we saw a year ago when he batted .218 in 157 games and was one of the statistically worst regular everyday players in all of Major League Baseball. It's something I'm sure we will all be watching over the course of 2025. So that was a visit with Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos. When we come back, we will size up the Braves bullpen, go in-depth there, and I will tell you why I believe that this Braves starting rotation, despite losing Max Fried and Charlie Morton, may be built for October better than it has been in recent years. We'll cover all of that on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in to From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we continue our Braves spring training specials, counting down to the regular season, which begins on Thursday against the San Diego Padres with a deeper look at the Braves pitching staff. There were some moves this week. Several acquisitions were made. Let's start with a couple of signings, none bigger than Craig Kimbrell, the former Braves All-Star closer, coming off a very up-and-down season in 2024. But a guy who was an All-Star even a couple of years ago, has 440 career saves and has handled some high-leverage innings, to say the least. Where could he fit after signing a minor league deal worth $2 million? He'll begin in Gwinnett, but at some point, the Braves are very likely to turn to Kimbrell to see if he can be part of the solution for a bullpen that needs a couple of pieces and could use a couple of arms to step into the voids left by A.J. Minter and Joe Jimenez, who they believe will be out with a knee injury for the entire 2025 season. Kimbrell could be a definite factor there. Then the Braves did what I think everybody expected they would do before opening day, and that was sign Jesse Chavez after he was released by the Texas Rangers. Now, this one, maybe not a fait accompli to get back to the major leagues and to be part of this bullpen, but I would not rule it out. Jesse Chavez, who has pitched so well in a Braves uniform, has had at least six, if not seven, depending on how you want to do the math, stints with this Braves club. He is back again, and Atlanta's going to see if he can help them out, perhaps as a long reliever, at least in the early portion of the season, with some questions about how this bullpen is going to be comprised. The last piece that's added to this bullpen is Jose Suarez, a lefty, acquired by the Angels in a trade that sent Ian Anderson to Los Angeles. Anderson was unable to impress the Braves enough to crack the opening day roster. He was out of options. Suarez is also out of options. He's coming off a couple of really rough years with the Angels, is Suarez, while Anderson is coming off 2 years largely spent injured or rehabbing from Tommy John and just couldn't rein in the control. I don't know how much of a factor Suarez is going to be. I think it was just the opportunity to get a third lefty. If you're going to cut Ian Anderson anyway, just trying to get something for him, that's what brings Jose Suarez to the party. But the Braves will hope he can make some kind of a contribution here and see what exactly they've gotten. And if he doesn't really pan out, then I think they'll just move on to whoever the next option is. So this appears to be how the Braves' bullpen is going to shake out. You've got lefty Aaron Bummer, right-hander Eniel De Los Santos, righty Daisbell Hernandez. You've got Raisel Iglesias, of course, Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee. Those are going to be more of your high-leverage arms. Hector Neris made this club after being signed late. Didn't really get a long look at him, but of course he has a track record at the big league level. We can see how he fits into this whole mix. And then Jose Suarez, the lefty that was picked up in the Ian Anderson trade. That looks to be the early formation of this Braves bullpen. But as I talked about with Alex Anthopoulos, as I talked about with Brian Snitker, as we flat out talked about on this show, year in and year out, you're not just going to put a 13-man pitching staff together in spring training and have it get you through the course of the regular season. It just doesn't work that way. The Braves have used 28, 30 different pitchers per year, a dozen if not more starting pitchers over the course of a year. So we know that this group, it's going to be a fluid situation. It's going to change. And I don't want to bring it up because, you know, it's not the most fun conversation, especially based off of what 2024 was. But you know that injury at some point is going to change your plans. Beyond that, there's going to be performance, there's going to be attrition, just the different factors that a pitching staff is going to go through as it navigates a 162-game season just to get to the point where you're making the decisions about who will be throwing the biggest innings for you in October. Now, when it comes to that latter part, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but you know that that's in the mind of Braves fans out there. If you're listening to this show, I'm sure you're thinking about, okay, well, you know, the Braves have been a pretty good regular season team. How do they crack the postseason code? Pitching is, of course, one part of it. So let's kind of key in on what that looks like and think about how the Braves, if fully healthy and productive over the course of a season, how do they line up when you start talking about a postseason series and a postseason matchup and the trends that portend well for success and, of course, the attributes that you need to have, the tangibles, not just the intangible stuff, but the tangibles that make pitchers so good in the postseason. Typically, there's one thing above all else. You miss bats. You get swings and misses. You generate strikeouts. Now, that might sound like any other day in Major League Baseball based on how many strikeouts we're seeing and what pitchers are these days. But you have to have a group that is able to generate those swings and misses in the postseason, limit those runs, kill those rallies before they start. And do you have the type of pitchers that can do that? Well, let me line it up for you as it looks like it could be for the Braves this year if everything goes according to plan. You have the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner in Chris Sale, a guy who has perhaps missed bats at a better rate than just about any pitcher in this generation or many others. You've also got Spencer Strider. Speaking of strikeouts, if he gets back in the groove and is healthy and kind of ramps up and they manage that load throughout the course of the season and have him really feeling good by the time October rolls around, that's a dynamic 1-2 punch. But I'm not done there. You know, this is like the made-for-TV commercial. But wait, there's more. And the more is Spencer Schwellenbach. Let's just go ahead and get that out there. This kid showed so much last year. His average fastball velocity of 95 miles per hour, but he's not just a hard thrower. Dabbled with six different pitches a season ago, throwing all of them at least 8% of the time to give him a very complete arsenal. And I think it makes him different than any other pitcher on the staff and one of the better and more well-rounded pitchers that you're going to find on anybody's pitching staff. That's what makes Spencer Schwellenbach unique. And the fact that he pitched his best baseball against his toughest opponents last year, I think that's a pretty nice indicator of a pitcher that you can count on over the course of 2025 and the kind of pitcher you want to give those postseason opportunities to. Keep in mind, you know, the Braves were very briefly in the postseason in 2024, and they had to use the Spencer Schwellenbach bullet just to get there. All he did was go out and stifle the New York Mets to try to give the Braves that opportunity to get to the postseason. So I look at that a lot like a postseason audition. It may not have come in the postseason, but it certainly helped his club get there. So Spencer Schwellenbach, long story short, that's one of those arms that I think that you want to count on. In addition to Swellenbach, who we're going to hear a little bit more from in just a moment, I don't want to get lost in the weeds before I finish what makes the Braves rotation quite possibly a dangerous group come October. And again, I know October, we're talking about it in March, but what do you think the Braves are thinking about all season long? It's getting back to October. It's winning in October. How do you get that done? Great pitching, again, is the point here. So you've got Sale. You've got Strider. You've got Schwellenbach. You've also got Reynaldo Lopez, who his velocity has been down over the course of the spring, but I don't put a ton of stock in that just based on what Reynaldo did a year ago, ramping his fastball up and down as he needed to in order to make that transition back to the rotation where a sub-2 ERA, an extremely good season, an all-star campaign, couple of injury speed bumps here and there, but Reynaldo coming into spring training and talking to him down in Northport said, hey, I'd like to throw 200 innings this year. And that may sound like something that if you grew up in the eras of baseball I did, you know, throughout the 80s and 90s, 200 innings, a lot of guys did that. Here in 2025 or the 2020s, not as many pitchers are throwing 200 innings. In fact, most pitching staffs are not even asking that anymore. It used to be a prerequisite for a established, successful starting pitcher annually. But I thought that was a very interesting goal for Reynaldo, and if he's able to give the quality and the quantity of innings and do the things he did a year ago with his arm, that gives you just another option to figure out when it comes to covering the most important innings of the year. But there's a lot of things that have to happen before you get there. Let's talk a little bit more about the rotation in depth here, and let's actually hear from one of those men who I just did a very, very long intro for, and I do want to discuss his success a year ago. That man is Spencer Schwellenbach. Now, Schwellenbach really burst onto the scene last year with a little bit of buzz maybe before the season, but no real expectation that he was going to be a major factor in the Braves rotation a year ago. All he did was come up and completely and totally impress everyone who got the chance to watch him pitch every fifth day. His rookie season involved more innings than he'd ever thrown in his life, but he was throwing his best baseball right on down to his very last start of the year, which again came in that final weekend against the New York Mets just to try to get in to October. One thing I absolutely love about Spencer Schwellenbach, in a word, is his confidence. Here's how he sized up his 2024, and while it might have surprised you, it might have surprised me, getting to the big leagues and having success did not surprise Spencer Schwellenbach.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I expected to be, and this is where I wanted to be. This was my goal, so I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't expect it, because this is what I wanted. But saying that, it's a really, you got to cherish these moments, you know, that we have, and stay healthy and do everything that we can to be good teammates for each other.
Spencer Schwellenbach's dream of making it to the major leagues took a couple of different forms. You might think that, well, he always wanted to be a big league pitcher. No, that's the second iteration of the dream. I'll let him explain how exactly he went from a college shortstop slash closer to a major league starting pitcher upon joining the Braves organization.
When I was a kid, I expected to be playing shortstop at this level. And once I started getting older, and up until probably 3-4 years ago, I realized that's I'm not good enough to hit. So, but yeah, when I was a kid, I always threw really hard, played on a really, really great travel ball organization that gave us really good opportunities to play against the best players, best teams, and ultimately that's what drove me to being as good as I am and expecting to be great because I surrounded myself with great people.
His work on the mound as a 24-year-old rookie was nothing short of impressive. He was 8-7 with a 3.35 ERA in his 21 starts, 123 and two-thirds innings, 127 strikeouts, and perhaps the thing that jumps off the page the most, he walked just 23 batters, so nearly 6 strikeouts per walk. Those are just a few of the numbers that speak to Schwellenbach's success. He had some time over the winter to reflect on all of that and how he felt about his rookie season as he gets ready for his first full year in the big leagues here in 2025.
Definitely satisfying. I'd go home for the first 2 or 3 weeks I was in the MLB and had to tell my wife, like, this is unreal. Like, this is everything that I dreamed of, and I'm just so happy that, you know, I'm living my dream out. And when I started to throw more innings, throw more games, I started to get a little bit more comfortable, and it just kind of became part of my daily task, daily routine, just to go to the field and just play baseball again. You know, like, it was the first couple starts were definitely a little nerve-wracking and a little sped up for my liking. I don't like to be moving too fast for sure on the mound, but definitely got more comfortable and definitely satisfied with how it went.
So very impressive rookie campaign for Spencer Schwellenbach and big expectations in 2025 for him as he looks to help round out this rotation. And I know I talked a lot about Sale, about Strider, about Schwellenbach, and some about Reynaldo Lopez as well. We heard from Grant Holmes earlier in the show. I don't know what his year is going to look like. It may not be in the starting rotation the entire time. He may serve a role that will allow him to work in the bullpen as needed and start as needed, kind of a hybrid, a swingman, I think is what they called it in yesteryear. I don't know if that exists anymore in Major League Baseball, but it does seem like something that could be extremely useful for this Braves pitching staff. The other wild card in this equation, at least to start the year, is highly touted prospect A.J. Smith-Shawver. Where might he fit in? Keep in mind, he's seen action in the postseason each of the last 2 years. Just another factor to keep in mind as the Braves size things up on the pitching staff over the course of the next 6 months. It's a group that does have a lot of talent. It is a group that has seen some big losses from a year ago. No more Max Fried, no more Charlie Morton, no more A.J. Minter, Joe Jimenez down for the year. It's a group that's going to have to step up individually and collectively to find ways to help the Braves win the games they need to this year, to punch their ticket for October, and do even more winning there. Well, with all of that said, that is a look at the Braves pitching staff and this From the Diamond Spring Training Special number 2, getting you ready for opening day. Well, it is in the books, so I guess the next stop is the regular season opener. That happens on Thursday out in San Diego, and then I'll be coming your way with the first episode of From the Diamond in the regular season on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for 2 full hours of Braves and baseball talk. I hope you'll join me there, and I hope you're subscribed to From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, you can find me on social media on most platforms. At Grant McCauley is the way to do that, and FromTheDiamond.com has all the links to everything I'm doing in that top navigational bar, so I hope you'll follow along with me as we talk Braves and baseball all summer long and hopefully into the fall. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, this has been From the Diamond on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am Grant McCauley, and until next time, so long, everyone.